Well, one of our regular features here on Morning on the Salish, of course, our regular features have changed and sort of morphed along with everything that's going on out and about in this world these days. But one of the really, really important things that I love about doing these pivots is that we are able to be in contact with some very, very significant people doing good work. And I have to tell you that Jen Kingfisher and the Jefferson Community Foundation are no exception to that. And she is the nonprofit services manager for Jefferson County Community Foundation. And she's going to update us this morning on what we're seeing this week in the community and services available from our nonprofits and about unmet needs, current developments. So Jen Kingfisher, we got a little static on the line, but let's see how we're doing here.
Okay, well, I can move around and see if that helps anything.
Oh, that's great. Wherever you are right now, as long as you're not
okay.
in an unbalanced position, you're okay.
Okay, that sounds great. The Jefferson Community Foundation COVID Response Fund reached a kind of exciting moment this week. We have topped $500,000. The total commitment to the fund so far is $5,644. And all of that funding is going directly to nonprofit organizations, community groups, community-serving government organizations that are serving our community. Every dollar is going to them. Jefferson Community Foundation is not taking an admin. That $506,544 was raised by 548 community members in our community. It's pretty exciting to see what we as a community can mobilize within just a few weeks. We started that in March. Every week we make grants decisions. Our amazing grants committee makes the granting decisions. And this last week we were excited to award some grants to Dove House Advocacy Services. Dove House has been providing rental assistance, rapid response rental assistance to folks who have lost their job in Jefferson County due to the pandemic and closures, and they've been able to keep these people afloat. It's been really cool hearing what they have to say and the different circumstances that people are in, and they're able to help right away. We also funded $12,000 to the Jefferson County Immigrant Rights Advocates who are providing rental assistance and different kinds of financial aid to immigrants in our county. A lot of times those people are on the west end of Jefferson County. In addition, Community Boat Project got a $2,500 grant. They're going to be expanding their summer programming in a safe way so that the youth in Jefferson County have a something to do, something to engage themselves in a safe way this summer. So far, we've gotten $425,910 to our community. It's pretty exciting to watch and be a part of. Go ahead, Chris.
Well, I was just going to say, what's so inspiring about this community and the county here is that your fund is staying solid, and you're out there dispersing money on a weekly basis, and it's just really inspiring to hear about where it's going and the effect that it's having.
It's been really great for me. As you know, Siobhan is gone this week, so I'm picking up some other things like talking with you on a weekly basis. And I've also been able to see these checks come in the mail. Now, you can donate at JCF Gives, but you can also donate via check. And to feel the weightiness of, one person's $20 money order and one person's $1,200 government relief check going to this fund, and then I get to see it going out to the organizations, and I hear about somebody who lost their job and their rent is getting paid. I hear about Jumping Mouse delivering a tablet to a family who didn't have anything for their child to connect with their Jumping Mouse therapist. It's been really beautiful to see our community come together to serve the needs that have arisen because of this pandemic. Incredible to be a witness to.
I think before I go on, I why don't we remind people once again about how the application process happens for the fund and how that happens, how the grant making procedure takes place. I think that's important for people to know.
Yeah. So as I mentioned, all the money in the fund gets distributed to organizations. Organizations can apply, and everything I talk about, you can find more information on www.jcfgives.org. And what happens, there's a simple application on our website. You can follow a couple links to get to the application. There's a few boxes that you fill in. If your nonprofit organization submits something by noon on Wednesday, what I do is I take that information, I send it off to our grant-making team, which is Meredith Wagner, former executive director of the Jefferson County Library, Kathleen Clare, former county commissioner of District 3, Dean Baldwin, former director of health at the Jefferson Public Health Department, and Rose Lincoln Hamilton, who's the chair of our board. They ask questions, and then I usually will call or email the representative of the organizations, get some clarifying information. And then on Friday morning, the committee meets and deliberates and makes the decision. And then I get to call you on Friday midday and let you know that your funds, your grant application has been approved. So it's a really rapid way to get these programs going, to get rent relief, to get materials that organizations need in order to make their services available.
And Jen, what about emergency financial assistance for individuals? How does that work?
For individuals, we are working, well, I can actually tell you a little bit about emergency financial assistance for individuals.
Sure.
I am so excited that we are able to fund some of the organizations that are offering these things. The places that you need to go with as an individual are Dove House, St. Vincent de Paul, and Ole Cap. Immigrants can also go to Jefferson County Immigrant Rights Advocates. Now, Dove House is a place to go to get your rent or mortgages paid. Ole Cap also has some funds for that. St. Vincent de Paul is a lovely group of volunteers that are able to, so far they've funded 322 applications for assistance related to COVID. And they're really great about meeting you where you're at. And of course, now they're meeting you where you're at over the telephone, but they're able to help people with utility bills. They had a big dental bill that they were able to take care for somebody. And Ole Cap also has money for people's utilities right now. So keep that in mind. There's a couple of things I'm concerned about right now. There's on Thursday, the moratorium for eviction is lifted, or it's set to be lifted on Thursday. So those people who have not been in a position to pay their rent for a while may be at risk of losing their homes. So if you're in that position, please call Ole Cap, Dove House, and St. Vincent de Paul to see if you can find some assistance.
How did these moratoriums come about, in case any of our listeners may not know about that?
Yeah, those are from the governor. It's a Washington State moratorium on eviction. So it's set to expire. I don't know if there's anything on the works to keep it, keep the moratorium, but I don't think it is. So anybody with information on that is welcome to email me and let me know what you're hearing.
And Jen, does that include a cutoff on utilities, on power as well?
I talked to the folks at Jefferson PUD, and the folks at Jefferson PUD do not want you to be on the cutoff list. They have more people than usual on the cutoff list. And when I talked to the folks at PUD, there wasn't a date that they knew of. There is a moratorium, and the moratorium will end. They're really working with folks right now. They've been calling people that are on the cutoff list or have large balances to pay off and letting them know about the services of Ole Cap and St. Vincent de Paul that can help them with their PUD bills.
And there, listen, while we're on the subject of housing and housing services and all the rest of that, I know there are a lot of things that Ole Cap would appreciate in the form of material donations, things that help them with their clients and their their clients at the fairgrounds and other places so that they can be more comfortable. And there are some practical things that people might think about. I know that a lot of people are kind of with nothing necessarily else to do, have been purging in their homes. And so now is a perfect opportunity to get some practical items over to Ole Cap. What are some of those items that are worth taking a look at?
Yeah. Ole Cap are working with sheltered, unsheltered individuals that are in a vulnerable position at the Erickson Building at the fairgrounds. And think about things you would want to do when you have downtime, things like books, games, things to draw with. They're also thinking about people that need to be comfortable, tents, sleeping bags and mats, lanterns, sheets and towels. They're also thinking about moving in and out around the Erickson Building. So flip-flops and slippers are helpful to them. Snacks are always helpful. And then lockable totes and suitcases. And it's really nice for them to have the prepaid phones with minutes on them. So if any of those things you see in your home and are ready to get rid of and you know that could be useful for somebody, you can bring them by the Ole Cap building, which is up in that park near behind the Goodwill, or to the fairgrounds, the Erickson building. You can ask for a shelter monitor and hand over those items.
I know something that was very useful to me in my out and about days was a durable laundry bag. That helps.
Yeah. Yeah. And they're saying laundry bags, lockable totes and suitcases.
Yep.
Suitcases, yeah.
Yeah, stuff to put your things to put your stuff in, which is it's important for people to be able to at least have some sense of being able to control and consolidate their stuff. It's important.
Yeah.
Well, there's one more thing because we have about three and a half, four minutes left, and we both are tuned in to. The situation with kids, what their education is going to look like, what's going to happen with students as they move into the summer, and how does the foundation enter into all of those issues with our students, our young students?
Yeah, it's quite a roller coaster for students these days. Being sent home from their in-person instruction and dealing with the different ways that our schools are working so hard to provide something that works for the students. The school year ends on June 19th, so I know a lot of the schools are kind of doing some of their last. My younger child had her last kindergarten full group meeting yesterday. Things are sort of wrapping up with the online portion of the learning. Now, as a lot of the community is aware, the schools have been providing meals for all children under 18 years old, breakfasts and lunches on weekdays that they can pick up at several locations. And in some places in Jefferson County, the buses are bringing those lunches to those young people. The YMCA will be taking over feeding kids weekday meals and weekend food. In terms of summer, a lot of the summer camps are canceled. A lot of the other activities for students are canceled. This has a couple of different issues attached to it. If we're opening up and you want workforce out there, children need a place to go. You can't open the workforce without having a place for children to go. YMCA does have plans to start their normal literacy, summer literacy programs, but they are waiting for phase three, and that will be at least in July before that happens. Young people and older young people, let's say teens, studies show that having involvement in activities like sports or different school groups show for better outcomes in adulthood. Unfortunately, so many of those programs have been canceled this summer. So we're looking to hear about different programs that can be offered this summer. I know that, as we mentioned, Community Boat Project is working on safe activities for teens. I know the Northwest Maritime Center is planning on offering programs for those 10 and up. And I believe Cedar Root Folk School is going to be offering something. Now, Connected Students Initiative, a project of Stronger Towns, is really working hard to find the students in need of internet access so that especially when school resumes, it will probably look different in the fall when school resumes. And making sure all students have access to the internet is pretty important so that they can continue their learning. In all likelihood, the fall will have some aspect of online learning, so having connection is pretty important.
Well, and then also, of course, you know that one of my favorite places is Jumping Mouse. And what are some of the things that Jumping Mouse, some of the creative ideas that Jumping Mouse has come up with for the little ones as time goes on here?
I've been really impressed. Continually impressed with the work that Jumping Mouse did. Now, I know that Jumping Mouse moved to teletherapy as almost they were thinking it as a stopgap, as a placeholder. But these amazing therapists at Jumping Mouse have been able to continue, not just hold the relationships with the young people that they serve, but grow the relationships with the young people they serve. They're writing letters back and forth and including arts and crafts to send to the students so they can be doing them at the same time with their counselor. Now, Jumping Mouse has also convened a group of cross-sector professionals that are interested in supporting vulnerable families. And they're working on lots of ways to make sure that those vulnerable families can navigate the services that are offered to them. Now, Jumping Mouse is also working on on creating a position that is, and I might botch this a little bit, apologies, Jumping Mouse, but working on hiring a professional that works directly with teachers so that teachers have the tools in their toolbox to work with all kids who've experienced trauma, all kids, and work with them in a way that is positive and helps all children in the classroom thrive.
Well, Jen, I think if anything is pointed up, especially in the light of what's been happening over this past week, is the importance of our community and the importance of spreading that love and with good works, especially to those of us in the community are just discovering this world. And I think all of the good work that folks are doing with children is extremely important.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, Jen, we went over time a little bit, but that's okay. And I just really enjoyed talking with you. And will you be back next week?
I believe Siobhan will be back next week.
Okay.
Now.
All right. Well, Siobhan.
Well, it's been a real pleasure talking with you, Chris.
Yeah. So Jen Kingfisher, Nonprofit Services Manager for Jefferson Community Foundation. And she's been here these last couple of weeks to update us on what we're seeing this week and each week in the community and services available from our nonprofits and about the unmet needs and current developments. Jen Kingfisher, thanks so much for joining us on Morning on the Salish.
Thank you, Chris. And thank you, KPGZ, for being such a great partner.
All right. We'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.